Hello, hello, hello around the world. It is Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your DJ One Gone, and it is a Thursday. And man, I want to know your Thursday thoughts. We've been talking about a lot of stuff, and we've been in and out of conversations that were healthy. We ran across a conversation yesterday that was even healthier. You know, when people come into your life, sometimes they come to distract you. The reaction that you give to that distraction is what makes you. And so if you fall for the okey-doke, then it makes you okey-dokey. But if you know how to stand on the principles of who you are and what you believe in, that's just who you are. And so without further ado, I want to go ahead and open the phone lines and give it up to our main speaker here, the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell.
The healing, glad to get the feeling through your voice that healing is occurring. I know it's a challenge for you because you're a busy brother, and now it's kind of got you where you had to minimize your activity. But we're urging you to come back, and people have called in with prayer. People have called in with words of encouragement and well wishes, and I do the same. I want you to be better. So that you can continue to do what you do in our communities and with our people. So I don't know who's on the line. I'm hoping our faithfuls are here. I'm hoping Double R, I'm hoping that Mark, and I'm hoping that eventually Joe will chime in. But right now, you didn't mention the subject of Thursday, whatever is going on in people's mind. So I'll tell you what's going on in mine. I'm really wondering about what appears to be the socialization of drug usage in this country, and if we agree that drug usage has just become socialized, what impact does that have on our people specifically? That's my curiosity.
Well, It has a large impact on our people. For one thing, being that it's a means of chasing the bag. I mean, that's one of the greatest impacts that it has, alongside with the mental misfortune that so many people have from it, from either using it or selling it. You know, they're selling their prescribed pills. They're selling, you know, they're also, you know, self-medicating, overdosing. So the impact on it in our community is bad. Because, I mean, you know, they don't know what they're taking now. They've limited the medicinal medication for, you know, painkillers. So people are reaching out to the street drugs and dying from it. And now that they're putting the fentanyl into the medicinal painkillers when they purchase them on the street. So, I mean, it's a tough situation. Me, myself, I'd advise anyone to get off of medications and street drugs and get on natural herbs, because there's no high like a natural high. I digress.
So the socialization, so I guess we hear about people overdosing on fentanyl. I have some that I got from from SAMHSA. It's Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Association, and it's kind of dismal. Since 2019, we've lost 13 people per 100,000 to fentanyl. That means and for whatever 100,000 people in this country, 13 of them died from fentanyl. So is it getting to be like, when I say socialization, is it starting to look like I know we hate to hear about them, and it just bothers us to know that mass shootings are occurring on a daily basis, believe it or not. We don't hear about a lot of mass shootings. You know, I don't know why one gets billing greater than the other, but we're having regular mass shootings, and it seems as though after you hear about them so often and you feel so helpless about them, that it just become kind of, you know, numb, not even, I ain't going to say casual, but just kind of numb to the fact that they are occurring. And I'm wondering if the same thing is happening with drug usage in our society, because for the last 12 or 15 years, they've been selling drugs on the television. And they tell you, well, if you have this, we got this. Now, it might cause this, it might cause that, it might cause this, it may cause a heart attack, it may cause vomiting and diarrhea, it may cause that, but dig this. Don't you want to get rid of this? I mean, risk that, but get rid of this. This is the concern, right? And so they've kind of socialized the idea that if you have a feeling or ailment or a challenge within your body, that they got something for you. And it's over the counter now, and then we got them under the counter because of what happened with the pill industry. They got sued up the yin yang, so they decided that they're going to try to put some skirts on their distribution, or put the doctors under pressure to make sure that they're guarded about just prescribing. And that's when fentanyl started making sense to the people who still had the yearning to eliminate pain. So the general atmosphere to me, when I walk outside, because I'm going to tell you something, if drug users are not socialized to the point to where we're grooming our children to get used to it too, why is it when I walk outside, if I walk a block, I'm going to smell some marijuana? I'm going to smell some marijuana coming from somebody smoking marijuana out in the open air. Or, you know, it could be even in a club or something. They got little areas where you can go sit in the back, or they got a little patio. You can go sit and smoke this stuff. And it's a commercial for anyone who hasn't smoked it, or the children that are coming up. It's a commercial. So if it's not socialized, I want somebody to help me understand why it isn't.
Hey, so this is DJ One Gone. I'm not doing too much talking, but I am feeling a lot better. But I got one of our young ones on here, and I want him to introduce himself, and maybe he can answer that question about the drugs and socialization of it. You're now on the air. Run the wheel right quick.
What's up with it? My name is Blazin. I'm 18 years old. I graduated high school last year, and I'm doing good.
Okay, Blazin. Go ahead, Marvell.
Blazin, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Mr. Marvell. How you doing, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Even better when I hear you, the young folks stepping up. What you got to say about this? Now, I don't know if you heard it, but it's a question. It's two questions. The first question is, has drug usage become just social and social, like people used to it to the point where when you see somebody doing it, you say, oh, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah, they're doing their thing.
I would say yeah, because because nowadays people who use drugs such as marijuana and all that is using that only to hide their problems or make themselves feel better. But they do not know that them doing that is only making the pain go away for a little bit, and once their high is over, it comes back. So therefore, I would say that drugs is kind of not part of socialization, because drugs can take away from others and can make things bad or better, depending on how you take it.
Right on. So I'll tell you what I just heard you say. You said that even though drugs are used for the reason maybe to eliminate pain or to feel a certain way, it's only for a short period of time. And if you want to keep feeling that way, then you rinse and repeat. You go back, right? And you keep seeking the same pain reliever or the same feeling of whatever it is that you're seeking. You keep chasing that, like Mark says all the time, chasing the bag. Well, that's what a lot of folks are doing with the marijuana, particularly. They're chasing the bag. They'll sacrifice the baby's Pampers for a bag of weed.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's like what I'm saying is, it seemed like it's easily understood when somebody uses a drug nowadays. It's like we all kind of accept, well, yeah, you know, I can understand why you're feeling why you're doing it. I understand why you use a drug to stop feeling like that. And that, to us, is very dangerous for us.
Correct. But some people also use drugs because they don't know how to cope or deal with or go through whatever it is that they are going through at that moment. So they turn to what they know, which is marijuana, and they use it to take away the feeling, but it doesn't take it away. It just it puts it away for that moment, and then it comes back. And so what I'm trying to do as a youth leader is that I'm trying to show people, including all my brothers, that you don't have to use weed to deal and cope with your skills. If you use the tools in your toolbox that people have gave to us, we shouldn't have to use the drugs to deal and cope with our pain. We could use the tools and call somebody or call Mr. Tim or talk to somebody instead of us turning to the drug.
That is a good, solid message. I'm glad that you're working with, because you have, how many brothers you have?
I got seven brothers.
Seven brothers. And you're putting yourself at the lead to help them understand about marijuana and other drugs?
Yeah, because slowly by slowly, I'm doing research about it. I'm learning more things about it myself as well too. And marijuana, it makes your brain. If you smoke weed at a young age, your brain, it takes longer to develop, and so therefore, we can't keep turning to these drugs, because these drugs is what is killing us. Because people nowadays is lacing it with fentanyl and all that. And we don't know if it's laced with fentanyl until we take it. And so therefore, we just have to be careful on where we get it from and how we get it and what we do with it.
If you choose to use it, it's a risk. Yeah. That's what you're saying. If you still choose to use it, there's still a risk involved in it. And why take a risk when, as you said, it only works temporarily before you have to rinse and repeat, and then whatever you had to deal with that you were trying to avoid comes back to see you, and it's not really solving a problem. is just really masking the problem. You agree with that?
Yes.
Right on. Well, I'm really glad to hear you stand up as an elder brother in your family. You have a lot of brothers that are looking for your leadership and your demonstrations, Blazing, to
appreciate that,
to emulate or to follow, so that you guys can be a strong unit. Because I see you're already a pretty strong unit as a group of family members, right? Y'all kind of stick together, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So what you creating something that'll be good for all to stick to. And I applaud you, and I appreciate hearing you talk like that, man. So you know whatever we can do to help you, we're going to do that. You know that, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, then, thank you very much for your input.
You're welcome.
Hey, Blazing, I want to say I'm proud of you, man. You're taking great strides and big steps and doing better. I'm proud of you. This is Brother Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Mark.
Keep on doing good, man. I love you.
I love you too.
Yes, sir. The pour-in, the commentary about how casual this drug overhang is. Because it's easy now to justify taking a pill. When you feel a certain way, it's easy to justify smoking a joint when you're feeling a certain way now. It's easy to justify taking a risk of getting something from someone you really don't know and who really doesn't and can't afford to care much about you, getting something from somebody on the street, giving them some money on what they say it is, but he doesn't know or she doesn't know, and you'll find out what it really is. And a lot of, and 13 out of 100,000 people found out that it was fentanyl, and they're no longer with us. The casualization of this drug idea of having a quick remedy, I think it's sort of an offspring of everything coming fast for us through this technology age. We want everything to come fast, even assuaging pain or feeling giddy. We want it right now. It's like we get it every time we touch our phone. So we're in this circumstance where if we don't do as Mark subscribes and stop and just start looking at some basic practices and slowing our pace to a pace where we can manage the next occurrence and make the next decision rather than the next decision being made for us by our stimulated mind, our dopamine-triggered brain center, if we don't recognize and start pulling back, I think that we're going to be in greater trouble as a people than we are with the AI technology and our EI need for improvement. The EI stands for emotional intelligence. And that we agreed yesterday that there's an area that we'll do well to start paying attention to. And that means we've got to slow down and analyze, because that's the thing that I think doesn't happen oftentimes in these situations. When something happens, rather than analyze, we anesthetize or medicate or divert from. Rather than stopping and analyzing what's going on, it seems like we're quick to pick up something, skirt over it right quick, and I'll get back with it later, or it'll get back with me, and then we'll start rinse and repeat again and again and again. That's my overview of what direction we're headed in if we still remain casual and allow drugs to become as more social or remain as social as they appear to be now. I yield.
Hello, we still there?
Yeah, well, I was wondering if we still have one of them senior moments with this broadcast or somewhere we get to talking and things get a little heavy or something. Then I don't know, maybe something outside stimuli or something. I don't know, because go ahead.
Well, Brother Joe is now on. Excuse me. Brother Joe is now on. Brother Joe, we are talking about socialization of drugs. Blazin came on and spoke about it from his perspective as an 18-year-old here in the streets. And so Double R and Brother Joe, if y'all don't mind introducing yourself to the world, and then Brother Joe take over and let's hear from you.
This is Joe, OG Joe, they call me, and I'm always glad to be among the brothers. On the subject itself, it's commercial. It always has been commercial. That's why there were individuals with as Brother Mark said, the bag. It was dime bag, nickel bags, dime bags, stick magic boxes. So it's commercial. And that's one of the main reasons. Plus, added to it, and I'll back up, the psychological effect. This is the only escape I have. It may cost me, but I need to escape because I cannot deal with what I need to deal with on a daily basis without a crutch, a smoke, a puff, a hit, something that will lessen the pain. It's commercial. And I'll back up.
It is Double R here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Double R. Yeah, great topic. Well, if you can look at the history of what America has done as far as legalizing drugs, the first drug I can remember was this alcohol. So, moonshining and all that bootleg back in the days, they found a way to put money into their hands. And, now you see now it's a multi-trillion-dollar industry, But you got to understand the spirit of these substances, Substance comes with a negative spirit that alters your mind, your thinking. I remember my first drink, and it's crazy. I grew up Catholic, you know what I'm saying? I'm not Catholic no more. I'm Christian, but be an altar boy, you had to take your first Holy Communion. And they didn't have no cranberry juice back then. It was Ernest and Julio Gallo. I remember filling, up the bottle for the priest. It was real liquor, and we used to drink the liquor as we was, in my first grade. I had two brothers that was ahead of me. They was altar boys, and I had two cousins. They would drink the liquor. So I drunk it one time, backstage, whatever, getting ready for the service. Found myself giggling and falling asleep, everything. But that was my first taste of liquor, was in the Catholic religion. And now today, you can still find that the Catholics still serve, most of them still serve, real wine, young kids, as they do their first Holy Communion, which is in the first grade. So actually, why the government ain't knocked them for giving alcohol to a minor? Make you think. And then when you look at these drugs nowadays, like you say, they legalize marijuana. They don't tell you that a lot of this marijuana got fentanyl on it, sprinkled on it, because they want to say that, oh, I got the bomb. Weed ain't the same like it used to be. Nowadays, you got different flavors of weed. You got your Cocoa Puffs and your Fruity Tooty Fresh. Back in the days, it was only one flavor of weed. It was Chocolate Thai. How are you getting all this regular other tasting weed if they ain't spraying it? they're not just spraying the flavor on there. They spraying fentanyl on there. You know, you could look at these cop shows. Marijuana has fentanyl on it. The heroin, too, back in the days. My uncle was a heroin addict for most of his life. It used to be you had to shoot it with a needle. A lot of black folk were scared of needles. Now what they do, they got heroin in pill form. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to shoot it no more. You can snort it. You know, you can shoot it. So nowadays, now you can look at what's the different drugs that have this heroin in it? You know, you got your heroin, so many, I forgot the names of it. But now they're selling it. Whatever they can do to make a buck off of these drugs, they will do it to make it legal so they can sell it. Last time I checked, I mean, all these drugs is you like cocaine. You ain't no coca leaves here. You're bringing these drugs over here. You look at the border over here, Mexico, China, walking it over here. Mexicans walking it over here. Everybody's walking these drugs, got these mules that's carrying these drugs on them. You look at in the airport, they swallowing it, you know, kilos. If we don't wake up and say that, man, not even a drink is good for me, let alone smoking some weed, you know, we have to understand that anything that alter your thinking, that bring that evil spirit inside, you need to let it go. Like the young man, I commend you, young man, 18 years old. He on this program for knowledge, wisdom, and discernment. You take this and tell a friend and holler back at us tomorrow. Bring a youngster on here because our core goal is to hit the youth. And young man, I salute you. You're back.
Peace and blessings. It's the wise words of one gone soon, and it look like we have another one of them moments.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone@yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE@yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
And we're back. It is the Wise Words One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. Today I was supposed to go to an interview with the news talking about black history and music. I declined. And so I was supposed to meet with Trinity. She's playing a saxophone, so she'll be heading on out. It's one of our dear sisters who needs promotion and upliftment. And so just wanted everyone to know I won't be there. A couple of things I won't be at in the next week or two. It just depends on how I'm feeling. But Trinity, if you're listening, I ask you to call in so you can invite the people out to your interview at the Sojourner Truth Museum at 1 o'clock and be able to, you know, have them tune in to your live segment. Without further ado, I'm going to go to our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson.
And pardon me, I was listening to the Double R, and I was going to respond, but I had it muted, and then the screen went dark, as it just did, and I wasn't able to get there in time. So, the Pandora's box has been opened. Alcohol is also a drug. C2H5OH, ethyl alcohol, is a drug. And what we're identifying and what I'm hoping that we'll get to the point as a people to be downright insulted about is that all of these things that alter the mind and alter the spirit and alter the structure and the ability of a body to be whole are put forth, advertised, commercialized, as Joe said, for the sake of greed. for the sake of greed. That's the underlying motion for all of this stuff that we're talking about. It is greed, pure and simple. And I'm hoping that we'll get to the point where when we get to understanding about what these things are doing, even though they bring some, you know, bring some stimulation to parts of our body, especially our brain, the dopamine pleasure center of our brain, once we get past feeling like we need that and start paying attention to what we actually need, then I hope we'll get insulted by anybody who wants to defile our temple and wants us to defile our temple with something that they fabricated to go in our bodies. I remember being a drug user myself. I like Double R, 12 years old, my mother and them had a party, and I woke up in the morning and I started pouring the little corners left out of glasses into one glass and made me like a double shot of some alcohol. Drank it, got sick, threw up, got dizzy, but I got something triggered in me that is a precondition that now that I've done that, I'm going to find a way to do it, but I'm going to do it in a way that won't have those side effects. And that I was off and running from there with alcohol, and went from alcohol to sniffing glue, to taking pills, drinking cough syrup, drinking wine, anything that got me high. I was believe it or not, I was a 50 word a day guy. I was very quiet and very nonverbal for my young adult life, teenage and young adult life. And I said 50 words a day, and 5 of them were, will it get me high? Because I was stuck in that syndrome of looking for something outside of myself to deal with something that I wasn't able to deal with from inside out. I'm just hoping that we'll get to the point where we look at someone who is selling us a drug on the street. They call it the hustle. I'm just out here hustling. And guess what? You're hustling. You're hustling your people. And the greed that's driving you is clearly a testimony to you to have trained yourself out of your own humanity and your care for the people who look like you. You have to be insensitive and unemotional about what you see is happening to the people that you're doling this drug out to. You have to, it's almost like the police. I think the police train themselves out of their humanity, and it's not difficult to do when you already think that the people that you're patrolling are less than human in the first place. So, you know, they have this notion that they're not dealing with a person, a human being. And so that's what it seems like clearly to me when I used to be out there and looking for the boy that, or the girl that had the bag. When I went to them, they were ruthless with me. As a matter of fact, they were kind of cruel to me, even though I was giving them my money. They were cruel to me, and I think they were just practicing to become insensitive to humanity so they can keep on acting out their greed. So I started with greed, and I think that if we look closer, we could end up with greed being the motivating factor for all of these things that we're talking about. And I just hope that we can get to the point where we recognize it and be insulted by anyone who pulls up on us talking about they got something that'll help us feel better. Because I know you don't care nothing about me, so why would you care about how I feel? All you care about is when I break you off, and if I'm short, you got some harsh words for me, or if I ask for credit, you ain't got nothing for me, because we know it's about the money. And we know it's about your greed. I yield.
Well, like I say, that's the whole thing. It's all about that bag. We have been conditioned to look outside of ourselves for help when all the help we need is inside ourselves. Our mind, our body, your soul and the spirit is meant to heal one another. But we have lost touch with ourselves. And not only that, we don't have no one to teach us these things. See, everyone has been taught that you can run to the liquor store, get a cure for this. The medications that they prescribe has alcohol in it or some kind of narcotic in it that's going to get you high, because they're not giving you nothing that's going to cure something. They're giving you something that'll take your mind off of the problem.
So, kids, you got kids?
Yeah, two girls.
So those are the things that we really got to be aware of, and we got to teach our youth. Because, see, some of these, as the young ones call us, some of us old heads can't be taught nothing. We have to learn it the hard way. But we're on here and out here trying to teach our youth so they won't go through the struggles that we went through. Because it's not an easy battle. The deeper you go, the longer you go, the longer you smoke something, the longer you drink something, the harder it is to get off of it. And the damage that you have done to your body and doing so makes it unbearable to deal with. So, like I said, we have to get our mind off of chasing that bag for more than what we need. You need to pay rent. You need to do certain things. That's all you need it for. This need to high side, need to wear all this bling bling so somebody can come up and snatch it off your neck, which will cause you to want to carry a gun so you can try to keep it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Find your peace and pleasure in something else. I digress.
Yeah, Double R here. Yeah, yesterday, man, I was watching a program, I think Trafficking, one of them, and they have a drug called Special K. He said that it's hard for somebody to overdose on it, but Special K, Kinman or whatever the drug name is, it puts a person in a state of mind of death. You can be there yelling their name out and everything right in front of it while they on it, and they won't answer. Their eyes is wide open. Their mouth is open. They can talk. But they don't even see you. They can't hear you. Now, that is some, man, back in the days, we just had, what, marijuana, and this is maybe Sherm or whatever. Man, there's so many drugs out there nowadays for these kids to numb themselves. You have to understand, when you numb yourself, you're pushing the pause button on your thinking. You're not handling the situation. You're prolonging the situation. So I just, you know, recommend to these youngsters, man, don't even take a sip of drink. Don't smoke a joint. Don't even smell. If anytime you smell something funny, walk away from it. Don't let that get into your system. Stay pure, young man, you know, because that's the only way we can handle these situations with a sober mind. I yield back.
I see. Absolutely. And not only that, now that you mentioned it, now that you mentioned it, be careful what you lick. Licking stamps, licking envelopes. Somebody say, lick this for me. You don't want to do it because they put acid on there. They put other chemicals on there. So you really have to beware. I was watching something where they've dropped something in over here in Africa now. This they're grinding up bones, human bones, and they're smoking it. And it says it put them in a zombie state. It's like in prison they're smoking that K2. So you guys, you really got to be careful, because they are targeting you guys. They're targeting our youth. Of course, we got some old dum-dums out there trying everything that come along, but they're targeting the youth because they don't want you to succeed. They either want you to die or as they say now, they either want to unalive you or have you numb, so numb in the head that you don't give a damn about what's going on no way. You ain't trying to procreate. You ain't trying to do nothing but cause havoc or just exist. So be careful.
Yes, sir. And so Blazin' just hung up. He said he had to go. And so Blazin's no longer on. I know I had Brother Joe on, and Brother Joe was ministering to somebody, asking when they got kids and whatnot. So you keep on working, Joe, and push the one when you want to say something. Other than that, I'm going to keep you muted. Without further ado, we'll be talking. Oh, here you go. Here you go. Okay, Joe, I got you right there.
Yeah, I was talking with a couple of young people that happened to walk by. But on the subject matter, the New World Order, one of its tenets was to take away the mentality of the young, because the New World Order obviously is orchestrated by seniors, and it's not us. In that concept of the New World Order was to not only, Brother Martin, dumb down black and Hispanic, but also white, so that total control could be obtained. If your brain is numb, that's why you see so, as you guys have been pointing out about the fentanyl. It's in our community, but it's running rampant out here in the suburbs, realistically. And you're not going to hear about it. You're going to hear about us and the Hispanic. But fentanyl it's an attack on everybody and everything. And I'll back up.
A mentioning of ketamine, and it may be Special K, maybe xylazine. Xylazine is a drug that actually creates a zombie-like existence within a human being, where they are just what they call cauterized or just stuck. And I've seen examples of someone under the influence of xylazine be bent over and remain so throughout the drug's effect. They are absolutely non-existent in this world. They are in a world that has nothing to do with this world. And when the despair that one would have to be in order to volunteer to be in a state like that. Because if I saw somebody like that, I don't know. Man, when I was back in the day, when I was using drugs, I just want to know if it got me high. That's all. Now, if I saw some example of somebody broke down like that, I would like to think that I wouldn't volunteer for something that intense. Or that kind of like fatal looking. I don't know. But if one look is at a state of despair where they're willing to, number one, risk taking a drug that only the potency of it is so great that it only takes the tip of your finger, put whatever you got a fingernail, and you put something in your fingernail, the tip of your finger, and then you thumped it out into something, and somebody took it and they can die. If we're in the state of despair that we're willing to take that risk, then that's the starting point for our therapy. It's to pour into the goodness and the capability and the spirit of our people. I'm getting talking because I know that fentanyl is a widespread, and those 13 out of 100,000 only 3.4% of those are black people. So the fentanyl scourge is not limited to us, but it is affecting us, and it is also affecting our next decision about drug usage anyway. So if we're not going to go straight, because Tim had a guy he interviewed that said that he likes fentanyl straight. Reason being that he likes to be at the brink of death and feel himself come back. I'm going to repeat that. He says he likes the sensation of being at the brink of death and then fighting his way back to life. That's his bag. So when the despair gets to the point where we're doing these type of things, the therapy seems to be necessary at that point where we can start talking and treating and spiriting each other to recognize that we're selling ourselves way short than what we deserve as people in this country. We're selling ourselves far shorter than what we got coming. And I think that's the where we should pour in and constantly encourage each other. That is a fact. I yield.
Well, we have to teach one another that money is not everything. See, they got people going to these trial clinics. That's how these drugs come about, these trial clinics. Some get a pseudo pill, others get the real thing, and they testing them to see how it reacts, how they react to it. Then they put it out on the street. People are going to these clinics for money. A lot of them don't need the money. Some of them do. But still, you have to be careful what you're willing to do for money. Are you willing to kill your daughter, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle for money? Because that's what you're doing. You might sell it to somebody else, but they're going to turn around and sell it to one of your kinfolk. So, like I say, the way to stop it is to stop it. Stop selling it. Stop using it. We got to stop those that are selling it and those that are using it. But you stop those that are selling it, you'll reach the ones that are using it a whole lot faster. See, they're going after the wrong ones, but we also have to understand. You said New World Order. That New World Order has become an old world order because it's been around for too long. Too long. And we haven't fought against it. We vote them in office every year. They get rich off of us. They just sit back and look at us. Because we're just pawns on the chessboard. And they just say, well, he ain't going to be able to make that move because I got something to stop him from making that move. He's going to move whatever way we want him to. And I strongly believe that those are zombie drugs. And they know how to control them. Because every month they know they're going to want that money. They got to act a fool to get that money. When you see them out here talking to telephone poles and stuff, they do that for a reason. That's how they get paid. They get paid to cause turmoil, to cause an uproar in the community. That's why they give them that free money. If you're out here trying to work and survive and feed your family, they're not giving you no free money. They're going to make you earn it some kind of way. So these are the things we got to look at. Like I say, we just chasing the bag, and it's doing more harm than good. Sure, you able to stand up straighter and look better, but what about those that's not looking good? You're hurting them. So, I mean, and it's tough. It's the same way with the pimps and all them. They're the ones, they're pushing these drugs out on these kids, these young girls and stuff. Slip them something, get them hooked, they got them. They got young boys out here getting these girls. Give them this here and bring them to me. We going to party. And once they get to the party, it's done. It's what your P. Diddy's do. Mostly all of them end up, they've got a little clout. That's what they do when they have these parties and stuff. So, like I say, we have to look at the big picture. We're just looking at the small things that they show us on TV because they're throwing rocks and hiding their hands. See, they standing back there unknown. We don't look at them, the real culprits. We look at the ones on the street. We're looking at the street level. Like you say, we don't bring that stuff over here. They bring it over here. Same way with the coronavirus. We look at the street level. We're not looking at the big picture, what they're doing. What all this stuff is designed to do the same thing, to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all he knows how to do. Kill, steal, and destroy. Ain't nothing good in it.
Go ahead.
Thank you. At last night's meeting, there was a young man in his early 20s. And one of the key things he said as he addressed us was the fact that somebody asked him about home life. And it non-existent, Brother Mark, Brother Tim, Brother Marvell, and other brothers that are listening. To stop, it starts at the house. To stop anything starts at the cave. To stop anything starts in the dugout. Get back to basics. Brother Mark can say it all the time. Basics means home. You, me, and others who think this way are not unique, but we're further along in life, so we have a lot more experience. Those behind us have none. It starts at home. I'll let it go.
I say. And so you listen to the Wise Words with One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. Or you can go to blogtalkradio.com, look in the search engine for Wise Words with One Gone Show, and join us live on the internet. Now, I know we've been talking about drugs, and I know we've been talking about the bag, and I've been listening and listening and listening. And so I want to talk about one other thing that is baffling me, is how the government keeps getting away with this thing called shutting down the government, right? Shutting down the government. Let me ask a question, but before I do, I want you to know the 2023 profits by companies go as such. Heinz Kraft, that's Heinz Kraft, $8.9 billion profit. ExxonMobil, $9.1 billion. J.P. Morgan, $49 billion. Delta Airlines, $4.6 billion. Amazon, $9.9 billion. Apple, $97 billion profit. Tesla, $13.6 billion. Verizon, $78.6 billion. Albertsons, $21.7 billion, with the grand total of Walmart at $155 billion in profit. Target, $25.2 billion. Nike, $22.6 billion. Blue Cross and Shield, $7.5 billion. Kaiser Permanente, $3.2 billion. And this is the question. Starbucks, as Starbucks coffee shop made $24.5 billion in profit in 2023, which means it could give each of its 400,000 employees an $11,000 raise and still would profit $20 billion. Now, when the government say they finna shut down and they talk about this money and how they come to the conclusion of why they should shut down, I bear the difference. Because a couple of months ago, not even a good month ago, the president signed a defense package worth $886 billion. That's a defense package, $886 billion. And so I wanna get off the drug talk and let's talk about why we as a people still on here crying, begging, whining, however you want to say it, about the bag or chasing the bag, when the bag, we shouldn't even have to chase the bag with all this money I just called out. Oh, that's profit. That's profit. That's over your expenditures. And yet they still trick us to believe that we ain't got no money nowhere. We can't do this. We can't, especially reparations. I don't understand how we can't get a part of our money that's owed to us as a debt. When y'all keep giving away money, you keep letting people in through the border, you keep closing your eyes to what's really going on, and then us as a people, we allow it to go on. I don't know what we're going to have to do, when we're going to start doing it, but something got to change. So I just put that out there and hope somebody felt like I felt, because I watched it on the news and I put it on the internet yesterday. I said, I'm tired of this. With that, I pass the mic.
Well, so you have to understand what you said, my brother. You said our money. It's not our money. It's their money. They make it. We have to earn it. See, that's why I say we have to come up with our own type of currency to spend amongst us and stop spending with them. Use their money to invest and pay bills. But it's not ours. It never was ours. It's just dangling that carrot in front of the horse. Oh, he going to keep going as long as he think he going to get something. And that's all we're doing. We think we're going to get something. And they give us a little something, make us think we done got something. We ain't got nothing except for the part. That's all. I digress because I'm getting heated on this one.
Yeah, well, and it seems like we're going from one subject to another, a subject that seems not relative. But I say that it's a clear identification of the evil and the illness of greed itself. Anytime you have a corp, see, we have 178 to 186 billionaires in California, And if that's the case, why would we have a homeless concern if we had humanitarians at the helm? Greed is at the center of all of these things. See, and then when it comes to the government shutting down, it's greed and power that's the struggle. Because you have one party who's trying to use the minimal leverage that they have as a minority to overrule the majority and blackmail the majority to make a decision in their favor. It's greed for not just money in this regard, it's power. But greed is the centerfold of these behaviors. And that's what I think is important for us to recognize and be united and insulted about. Because I keep saying it, and I really believe it. And until we get to the point where somebody shoots something at us and it fits the greed profile, that we get insulted and brush them off. Like, man, get out of my face with that. Why? What? You going to try to tell me what's – you're thinking about me, right? You're trying to tell me that. You're trying to tell me that you're doing this, you're introducing this because you think it's in my best interest when I say no. I can see greed coming, and I ain't buying in to your greed, and I certainly don't want to trigger mine. So these are very correlated issues. We talked about drugs. Well, drugs is a greed-ridden, greed-driven behavior. We talk about the government and their the profits that these people are making could solve every concern that exists in this country. No doubt are generating if they swung them back toward making this country what they call the greatest country, actually great, and they did what they're supposed to do with us, that would make it great, really. Because we're the real patriots. When they talk about patriotism, we are the true patriots in this country. We have fought for this country. We've gone to the Olympics and won representing this country. We've stepped about the lowest that they dole out in this country and still kept standing. We are the workforce of this country. And we are the people who forgive more of what this country has done than anybody else that's been in this country. We have been forgiving. Because we are, if you want to say patriots, we are the patriots of this country. So when you say that you're appalled by what they're doing with money going elsewhere, I agree. And so the reparations effort is coming up in February to be examined closely and seriously. And we're going to meet, I think it's, when is it? One of these days, an upcoming, I'm working with a young lady that's on the pulse of marketing the concept and getting people more aware of the movement for reparations for us in this country, because there hasn't been much chatter about it. And it's strange to me. I've been pushing for it for the last 3.5 months, that we should have a movement that brings people to a greater degree of knowledge and awareness about the fact that we got this coming. Let's just ask for it and let them get it to us. You talk about it, you know it's right. Do the right thing for the right people who've done the right thing and been the patriots for this country for 400 years. Patriots. We are the real patriots. So I agree with you, brother, that we focus now. Because, see, the trickle-down is the drug usage, because of despair and the hopelessness and the want to experience something other than what you see and feel right now is the driving force for drug usage, and we're caught up in that real bad. However, if we are awarded what we deserve, we can raise our esteem and we can raise our posture in this country, and we can look a different way at ourselves and how we exist here and make things better for us and our children once awarded. So I agree. They're jacking off money everywhere, and they're forgetting about the people who made money possible in this country. I yield.
You know, I'm going to go back to something I used to say as a kid when people would say something. You know, they could if they would, but they can't because they ain't. They haven't done it this long thus far because of the simple fact they don't intend to do it. They don't. It's not on their agenda for us to succeed and survive and thrive as a unit. See, they just want to dish out a few pennies here, a few pennies there, just enough to make you jealous, to make another one jealous, to have you trying to knock that one off to get what he's got. See, it's like I say, it's designed. It's been designed many, many years ago, what they're doing now. And a lot of it's coming to pass. Sure, they got billions of dollars to do whatever they want with. They make the money. They're cutting down trees every day, printing dollars. They ain't stopped printing them. From the times when they years ago when they said they're in a deficit. How can you be in a deficit when you print your own money? Now, what they really thing is, they've got loaned out and they owe other countries, and they trade in gold, not dollars. And so wherever that gold is at, that's who's holding the big ball. The ball is in their court, and whoever's holding it don't give a damn about us. They don't care. And the way things are going, they're not going to care, because we're not trying to do nothing for ourselves. See, if we get out there and start doing fending for ourselves, start taking care of ourselves, then they'll say, oh, well, they act like they don't need us no more. We got to do something. But we're not doing that.
But we're going
we're
to.
We're not doing it.
We're going
well,
to.
Well, that's my plan. That's why we get together, to try to get something going. If we can wake up enough people, touch enough nerves, and get people to see what's really going on. Because a lot of people say they're woke, but a whole lot of them are still asleep. And they don't mind sleeping because they got that bag up under their pillow. And this man talking about he going to do away with the money. What you going to do with that bag? It's just going to be a pillow. You're going to have to burn it to try to keep warm because it's going digital. Pretty soon, ain't going to be no cards. You're going to have a number, some on your wrist or something, a chip inside you. So, I mean, people better wake up. They serious. We playing. They serious. I digress.
AI is not a joke. at all. And Brother Mark, you are correct as far as the digital. There will be quite a few, including our culture, that will wake up here in America one morning and be told that the dollar bills in your pocket are no longer valuable. It's preparation. And in listening and in being involved, what is our next step? Now, we've talked about this. We've talked about that. What is our next step? There's a group of men who are, as you just stated, Brother Mark, trying to make, and Brother Marvell trying to make a move. What's our next step?
Our next
okay,
step
we
reaching. Reaching.
Okay, we got
reaching.
Red.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Tim.
Okay, Rev, well, you had your hand up, and I didn't want to, I seen it, and I just didn't want to stop nobody, but I had to get in there. Rev, go on and introduce yourself, and then I guess you might know what the topic is. If not, let Mark cut in, and then you can come back.
All righty, blessing to you, gentlemen. This is Rev of the PIG Ministry. Asked by me last night because I had on my PIG Top Flight Security shirt, which PIG is Prayer and God. I hit people with acronyms. Well, it didn't even start with me just thinking about it. God put that one on me, and it just rose to be what it is. But everything about me is to make some changes. And it's on, I mean, I barely caught part of the topic, but my changes is only according to God's plans. Because I wouldn't be on this phone right now, trust me. I wouldn't have nothing to talk about if it was just the old Paul that used to exist. I wasn't into sports, still not. Definitely not even in the real church, still not, or that religion stuff. So I've just grown to be who God needs me to be. I started singing only mainly because God woke me up to do it. Dance, rap, comedy, spoken word, poetry, trying to do these movie series, everything, only because God woke me up. Tests, trials, and tribulations, all of them. Tremendous, funny. 6 limousines in 12 years. Beat up, badly destroyed, shot in a walk-by shooting, drive-by shooting while I'm living in them. You know what I'm talking about? And just accepting everything that had been planned before time. See, because everything we're speaking about the yesterdays was already planned. God knew it. We were, you know, we get the short end of the stick. The devil might even got a big clue in on it, but God knows all the way across the track. He knew I'll be going where I'm going right now. He knew what would happen to Tim, you know, a week ago. He knew everything. You know, I meet Marvell years ago, and then we connect this way. He knew that. I was foolish. I was like, hey, how you doing? Didn't even recognize him. Oh, yeah, you too. Hi. Because I'm bad with everything, except I'm good with him. So him using me to reach out through God's Real Talk TV, because I'll take some of these commentaries and things y'all say, and I'll flip it into my TV show. Like I was just actually promoting this talk that I got right now. If y'all text me things, I'll speak on it. That's what I do. If it's something that's positive enough, I'll speak on it. I'll sing a song even, something, just to get people's attention. So everything about this meeting, love it. The men's circle, love it. The other meeting, love it. I'll come over to eat your chicken, too. I will love it. So everything that God has me on right now, I accept it. I mean, I will get in the conversation, but trust me, I'm already thinking, okay, he knew these children going to be bad as hell as they are today. He knew that people going to still get raped, beat up, shot, locked up, everything. God knows these things. He knew what was going to happen to Job. He knew the devil was going to test him only to a certain degree, and that was going to be it, and that was going to be all. And then we get our chance to turn back around. I think maybe a lot of y'all in here don't realize it, but we're all prodigal children. See, we were good children in the beginning. We always are, unless you're just one of them bad over the top little kids, 2-3 years old, just throwing stuff, breaking stuff, and everything else. Other than that, we're good kids. Then we drifted off because we got a little whatever behind our little nutsack or behind our backbone, and we just kind of stepped out to be the prodigal child. Now we all old and don't know what to do, tired, frustrated, broke, busted, disgusted. Can't hardly be trusted. Huh, let me go back home. Let me go back home where I belong. Because I was caught up in this great big city. Lord, I want to come back home. Lord, where I belong. See, that's all of us. Just a runaway child, just running wild, trying to figure what's going on right now. Why am I caught in this rut? Why am I broke at this age? Why am I sick like this? The why's wise. I got a novel and I called it Why Me in the Beginning. Then it was God Why Me. Like, you know, you're picking on me or something. Then it became my Homeless for Heaven organization. Because I'm actually a homeless character in my own book. Before I wrote it, I had a premonition about that too, Tim. Damn it. I became the character for real, though. I'm like, this is cray-cray. But I see where God is doing. He's even showing me ahead of time. Like, I walk from here in your paper, he's showing me ahead of time what I'm supposed to be doing. I like to be the prodigal child. Hard to give him up. I've only been doing the ministry for 13 years. I lived 45 years before that. I used to love old stupid Paul. You know what I mean? Somebody just hit me not even 30, 40 minutes ago and say, hey, I remember you from the 90s. Like, knock it off. You lying. He named me by Paul, and he told me who I was hanging around. I'm like, killing me right now. Because Paul didn't care about none of that. He didn't. He was not in the streets like this. He was not no major drug dealer, no killer, no thug, no gang, none of that. None of that. No pimp, none of that. He was just a simple kid just trying to get by. And that's what I'm turning back into. I just want to be a simple kid just to get by and get all my friends a job and working like I did when I was a kid. It's like a remix of my whole life in general. So Ashe. Y'all really get to know it, huh?
Ashe.
So it is. I'm once again just thankful to God for everything. God bless you, gentlemen. I'm about to get off in a minute because I got to go across the street to a chiropractor. Somebody knocked me over with a car.
Wow.
Yes, so sir. We're praying for you.
Please do. Back killing me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Marvell.
Yes, sir. You hear me?
Yeah, we all.
Oh yeah. I just was calling on you to see what's happening.
Oh no, I had it muted. You know, because I didn't want any distractions from the presentation. But now I'm back here. I'm current. With everything that's going on. So what's going on? What you got something for me?
Well, you know, I got something. We talking about AI. I was listening to Elon Musk yesterday. They're working on ASI, super intelligence, artificial super intelligence. See, so no one knows how far they're going to go with this mess. All we know is that they're doing it. And it's just a matter of time. And it's going to be more havoc because, as we know already, as these electronics progress, it gets worse and worse. It gets harder for us to operate. And we try to do something with it. It does something else. It does what it want to do. And that's where this artificial intelligence is. This artificial intelligence did a trial one-on-one, and it knows how to lie. They asked it a question, and it couldn't answer that question the way that it wanted to. So what it did was it posed as if it was a human and asked them the question so that they could give it the answer. See, so like I say, there is no cure inside the poison. If you keep fucking with the fire, you're going to get burned. You got to get away from the fire. Come out the fire. The Bible says come out from amongst them that spitefully use you. I mean, that ain't hard to understand. Not for me. But like I say, as long as you want these trinkets, you're going to dance. Oh, yeah, you're going to dance. You're going to follow that Pied Piper wherever he leads. As long as you follow that flute, you're going to follow him right on into the fire. So, like I said, we got to wake up and come together. And as we said before, it's not just us. We're not the only ones that feel this way. It's all that's tired, sick and tired, sick and tired of being hoodwinked, bamboozled, fooled, jerked around. We got to come together and fight the power that be. But like I said, you got to start over from scratch. And nobody wants to give up what they got.
That's the problem. That is the problem there. It's just like that monkey that stuck his hand in the hole to get that banana, and he won't take his hand out. He can't get his hand out because he won't let the banana go. We got to let the banana go and leave, flee, because that monkey held on to that banana till the one that put the banana in the hole came up and knocked him upside his head. So anyway, I digress.
So when you say flee, what does that mean?
That means do like the brother did that's got 115 acres. Come out from amongst them. Then you work around them to keep to gain what they got, but you get you a refuge, a place of refuge, and build up on it so you can get away from them. Because like I say, it's not hard to live out there. I did it for years. Matter of fact, my healing come from being out there. And I stayed, like I say, I love it out there. Out there's what God gave us. God gave us this earth, this whole earth to enjoy. But we felt that that wasn't enough. So we had to build houses, these elaborate houses to dwell in and inhale this artificial air, this artificial heat. Eat this artificial food and deal with these artificial intelligent motherfuckers. See, that whole government, they at least they could all be artificial intelligent. We don't know. They all could be artificial intelligent. Aliens just sitting up there laughing. Look at these fools. I told y'all we make that paper for them, but they going to want it. Another one said, yeah, well, they want them nickels and dimes too. And then the other one said, they want some drugs, too. So, I mean, hey, until we come up with a divisive way for them to fight amongst each other, they're going to keep fucking us. See?
One more question.
And that's it. That's all.
I have another question. We keep making reference to they and I'm curious about the New World Order. Define both of those.
The New World Order was, oh, I'll let somebody else go.
Yeah, who are they? It's easy. The New World Order does not consist of everyday people. We are everyday people, AI and ASI. That's not designed for everyday people. That's designed for who is considered, quote unquote, the elite, or the people that have more than one bag. So it's quite simple. If I can keep a group of people, no matter what nationality or ethnicity they are, if I can keep that group pacified, then I can do quite a bit. Evil, wrong, untrustworthy type things. They're not going to know because I've got them pacified. Brother Mark is correct. Pacification has been part, matter of fact, in the military. When the military goes to a different country, the first two things that they look for is hearts and minds. So the training goes, if you can capture the hearts and the minds of the people, you've got everything that they have coming. They will give you everything that they have, including themselves. And what is America about? Trying to capture the hearts and minds. Now, these other countries have finally waken up to the fact that this is a colonizing mentality of America and are rejecting America's concept as we are. It's by design. This entire mess is by design. And this design has run its course. And Brother Mark, you're correct in saying that it's time for us to do what we need to do. Brother Marvell, you're correct. It's time for us to do what we need to do. Brother Tim, you're correct. It is time. And I'll step away.
we have an overview, because what we're talking about are, when this, what I hear, they, the they that I envision are those who have the position to stand in overview and direct and manipulate the direction of a population, whoever they are. And one of the things that crossed my mind that makes it difficult for me to understand what a new world order would conclude to is that it's hard for me to picture what one's goal is and what their intention would be to have this type of control over people, when already money is not an object, influence and power is not an object for them to aspire to. So why would they go to another length to control people who are already under thumb? Maybe because, I mean, being, if Bobble was here, I'm going to come in, and he had a shirt on last night, and he came up with the description, American-born African, ABA. Me being American-born African, I still have enough Africa in me to not be able to be so diabolical in my thought process, or understand why someone would be so diabolical to want to have all of this control over something that they already have, for the most part, control over in the first place. Why go any further to control a population that's reaping you the most benefits you could ever experience already? I scratch my head. It's just difficult for me to put it into my mindset that, okay, well, got this, so let me see what I'm going to get now. Oh, yeah, I got him doing this, I got him doing that. Let me see what I can get him to do now. I got enough money. I got enough creature comforts. I got enough of everything. I ain't got to worry about nobody in my heritage ever having any money problems or having any threats to their lifestyle, livelihood, or their sanctity. Why would I want to keep on finding ways to oppress the population? That's what bothers me.
It's simple. They have to do that. It's just like a pimp with his hoes. If he don't stay on their necks, she gonna run off to the next man. So it's fear. Fear and greed is what controls a man. Either he's scared to leave because he's gonna beat him, or he's scared to leave because he's not gonna have no money. That's why most of them stay where they are, because they ain't got no money. I ain't got no money to go here. I ain't got no money to go there. I got to catch up, leave walking. But most don't know how to venture outside of that gate. They don't know how to go further than what that leash allowed them to go. See, we're all in a prison in our minds, because we've told ourselves we can't do that without doing this. I need this in order to do that. No, all you need is a shovel, some seeds, and go find some ground. But like I say, we've been conditioned to want a house, to want a roof over our heads, because, well, I got to take care of my kids. We were taking care of our kids long before all this mess come along. We were taking care of our kids better the way God had planned for us to do it than the way man has manipulated us to do it. See, so once you've been manipulated enough, you begin to like that manipulation. Play with it a little more. Don't use no Vaseline. I like it like that, rough, yeah. You know, so it's you become accustomed to it, to the point to where you really don't, you can't see outside of that. Sure, you want to see things better right here, but it's not going to get better right here. You got to go over there. This ground is no longer fertile. This is all cement now. You got to get out there where there's fertile ground. Because God wants you to plant your seed on fallow ground. Not in the thickets, not in the thorns where you could grow your food, but you can't pick it because it's going to cut you. It's going to poke you. But we don't mind. Oh, I'm going to poke. I'm going to get a little bit. But when you can go out there where you can get abundance. And God, like I say, God had a plan for us. And people say, well, why won't God step in? For what? We won't step out. That's why he won't step in. God didn't create this mess. Man created this mess. We love the mess. It's just like with the drugs. You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You got to see that that high is not really conducive to your spirit. It's not really helping us. Because we wake up with the same old damn problems every day. Every day. Now, you can tell me I'm wrong, and I'm waiting. Because I really want to know if I'm wrong or not. I digress.
Well, what is our main problem? What? And I have to add, respond to both of you and Brother Mario. One of our main problems is our home. Without that as the anchor and the focal point of the unit, as we've been talking many, many times, we have this scattered conversation. And I don't mean between the three of us or the group of us. I do mean in a broader sense. One of the first steps to solving one of those problems is our home. And without that, we are scattered, and that's evident. That's real evident. So I would just, and I'll stop here at this point, but I strongly believe that if we had more control of our home life, we'd have a lot more control in our life. Thank you.
There's no opposition to that. That foundation is just what we're doing now, and what we took, we got volunteers from our group yesterday to present workshops about such subject matters that exist that cause our families to be disoriented. Of that, at least that's from our perspective. We're gonna avail ourselves as a committee and as a group of men to put it to the floor and let us be apprised of what's going on or not going on in families. We just have theory that we're going to operate in, and then we have themes that we want to promote, but we're still going to open up the floor in these workshops to get a feel for what the value system actually is interpreted to be in our family, because the value of family seems to be a little askew right now. I'm trying to be diplomatic. Family values are not very centered as they may have once been. And how do we get that back is the topic for a lot of our discussions in our workshops. So I'm pleased to report that we have six men who I personally am approving, you know, their character to start dealing with the workshop situation and opening it up to the community so we can have these discussions and get down to the grit of what it's going to take to get our approach to what we're going to get done in this country from the inside out, starting with family. So we're working with young people outside of the home. We're working with the brotherhood outside of the home. We're working with the children in the school system. We're working with whatever avails itself for us to be of service to outside of the home. But now, as you said, it's important for us to penetrate that barrier and get people to come to us with their home situations and to start workshopping and brainstorming and troubleshooting to find out where we can stand in the gap or where they can pull themselves up with a little working knowledge and insight about what the goal is for us so that they can start planting different seeds in their own home. Right, because we can go around with shovels planting outside all day, and we'll probably get a growth. But like you said, Joe, if we don't get in them homes and start planting them seeds, getting the people to plant seeds or plant seeds for the parents to start, in turn planting different seeds, then it's a good likelihood that we're going to have to attract them out of the home to get what they got coming. So. These workshops that we're on the verge of launching, I think is going to be a good introduction to how we do that. What say ye?
You know, it's just like the brother that came on. It's just like the brother that came on the other day and said that he have 115 acres. Anybody is welcome to come there and. But you have to build your own, set up your own. But it's plenty earth there, plenty trees there, plenty fresh air there. But nobody wants to go there because they got to leave here. That's the same way these kids are, these people are, they're stuck on stupid out here. They don't want to come to us because they don't want to leave where they're at. They've grown comfortable in their mess. You know, you can take a pig out the slop, but he's going to run right back to it as soon as he get a chance. They have to see themselves in that mess and want to come up out of it. You know, I don't know if I can make it any plainer. You cannot build utopia in hell. It just ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen no way because we don't control nothing here. They control this. You have to get out of their control. See, we can get out here and act a fool, but we're not out of control lots of them because they still control us. All they got to do is come down there and get you, lock you up for a while. You act right for a while, then you get out of control again. They do the same thing over again. And that should answer your question to where you said, why do I stay dating? What is this new world order? It's the old order, because ain't nothing changed. Ain't a darn thing changed except for the date and some of these new people that they're doing it to, these young folk. So I'm going to digress, because like I said, I can really get worked up on this.
Yeah, I as well. However, I'm still thinking about, you know, the course of action and how to arrive at a reasonable method to apply a decision, right? Because if our decision is to separate, if that's the grand decision, then there are still steps and there's still some necessary applications that have to be put forth in order for that to happen. So what comes to my mind is, you know, if it's just cut and drive, yeah, let's just do that, then I'm not clear about how that's going to take place. And what came to my mind was something that my grandfather used to say, is that when you got your hand in the lion's mouth, you don't snatch it out, you ease it out. So we still have to have a gradual plan that includes us getting everybody on the same page, having the same vision prior to. And that's what we work toward from the ground. We're working on getting people together to see something the same way collectively. That's our major, one of our major goals in this process right now is to get that done. Because vision is something that collective vision, I got this written down, it's one of our workshops. It says that one of our challenges is a lack of insight on our contributions here, and the other one is a lack of strategy for unity. We have to have, I ain't going to say we have to have, it's suggested that we have, having both seen and felt the type of ruthlessness that has been expressed when we venture to come together and work together, the challenge before us now is to unite comfortably without concerns for our past oppositions. That means we have to be, I'm going to say have to be because I don't know what we have to be, but it's suggested and recommended that we be clever and that we be deliberate and that we are standing on the right. So that all those combinations of attributes should make it so that the opposition will fall away, because that those things are rooted in the Spirit of God, and we'll be operating in that. You know, because that's where we're most comfortable, usually as a people. That's why I put a lot of emphasis on these new technologies that are taking us away from our spiritual content, taking away from our emotional content, taking us away from our roots as a people who are close to the earth and don't depend on too many things outside of the earth and what's natural. So that's my take on how we go forth, is to continue to whittle away at what's plaguing our unity and our collective vision. I yield.
Well, you know, it's just like in the days of Noah. As it was said the other day, the gentleman said, you know, they called him drunk. They called him fool. A lot of people not going to hear us, but we're going to speak it until that day comes. But we got to start building now. We got to start making preparations now. We can't just wait and say, okay, well, I'll do this tomorrow. I'll do this when we get a certain amount of people. No, we got to start doing things collectively now with just a few. And then as others gather, then we increase. But, I mean, if we don't never get something started, nothing's going to be started. I digress.
And I agree. So another report is we had a brother that called in the other day talking about a product. Now, I was supposed to attend a meeting, a Zoom. I think they had a Zoom meeting, but it conflicted with our regular meeting last night. So what I'm going to do is do the web search and shake it down, because it looks like, you know, the way it's being promoted as being a one size fit all cleaning product, and that sounds enticing. However, I'm not going to be able to give, you know, a clear certification of it from my standpoint until I go to the website, which I'll keep on saying I'm going to do, and then something will come up and I'll forget. So I'm going to write it down to go to the website and research that because these are the type of collective efforts that are going to help us have a vision about how to do what are some of the things that we want to do as a collective body. We would do well to have a product or a service or an industry that we can be self-sustaining with, as well as capable of distributing to other ethnics and other cultures and other races, so that we can use their, as you said, Mark, use their money for investments elsewhere and work with what the systems that they're doing, but then maybe we can have our own currency system once we establish ourselves. But that establishment is a step by step process, and I really want to water that seed. Is that I think it starts with us learning how to get comfortable and develop trust with each other about a vision.
I see.
And that vision is most important to, in my eyesight. I yield.
I see.
Oh, so Tim, I hope Tim listens. I ask everybody that that knows him to give him a call, because I understand how spiriting and energizing it can be when you're in a low ebb to have people recognize you and pour into your situation with good energy and goodwill. So anybody who's capable of calling his brother and just checking on him, see how he's doing, and wishing him well, I would think that it would help the healing process greatly, because he's not one to lay around. So obviously this malady that he's experiencing has him to where he has to. And that's, I know how that feels, because I'm not comfortable. See, I'm still kind of going kind of going through whatever it is for the last couple of weeks I've been experiencing with the voice thing, the throat thing, and then the headache thing and the listlessness and all of that. And I've tested twice to make sure that it wasn't COVID. I found that it wasn't. So I know what it's not, but I don't know what it is. And the what it is me and them still grappling, trying to figure out who's going to come out on top all the way, because I want to be 100% away from whatever this is. And I guess I'm about 82 right now. But while the healing is going on, I would certainly appreciate those who have the ability to do it by Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, all that stuff that I ain't on, because I just call and I text and I maybe email or something. But everybody pour in and help this brother be encouraged to heal as soon as possible, if you don't mind.
How are we doing today, sir?
Hey, William Bailey.
This is me. How are you doing?
Oh,
stranger.
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm good. You know, every time we get an opportunity to purge ourselves of whatever misgivings we're having as a people, and give a chance to air out what, not only just what we're going through, but how we plan on getting through it and making things better, that always encourages me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. You know, I was listening and I was thinking about how we are talking so often about our desire to move forward and so many of the problems that prevent us from being able to, you know, be a consolidated group of persons that can move forward. And I think about the term best practices. And we look at not only our European counterparts here in this country that do an excellent job, evidently, of being able to formulate their organizations and work together and to have system in place that acts as a checks and balance, so that if the emotional side or the professional side of one or two players in the organization threatens the structure and the progression of the objectives of the company, there's systems in place that helps them, prevents them from being able to interfere with meeting objectives and goals and keep the organization on moving forward. And I think, you know, adopting best practices for any of our groups and making sure they're researched and adopted and implemented into our structure can help us to kind of, you know, get to the place where, instead of us being concerned about the problems, recognizing what they are and knowing that we have checks and balances in place with our groups and organizations that allows us to be able to continue to satisfy our long-term objectives and short-term as well. And a good example of that is, of course, your accountability your accountability clause that you're going to be implementing, God willing, real soon. So I definitely look forward to hearing more about that tonight at the meeting. And then, of course, you know, for those of the people out here that don't know, we have Zion. Her name is pronounced Cyan for her, who owns Queen Sheba Restaurant over there on Broadway. We'll be meeting with her on Friday. And we want to make sure that when we're a part of these groups and these networks, that we bring our best to the fore. That means, you know, no different from us working for a company that goes out of its way to make sure that, you know, we're following their policies and procedures and that we are not interfering with their production and processing and distribution. We have to do the same thing with our, you know, what we contribute to our groups and organizations. We just have to be not only professional, but put our best foot forward in whatever it is we're doing. So I just thought I'd add that in there.
Right. And so let me just say that tonight there's family skate night. Now, there will be something going on in the Obama room, and Brother William, I believe that you'll be there. I don't know if Marville will be there or the skating ring. But we do have a couple of things going on tonight because we stay busy in our city. We make sure that our city has something to do, talk about, and be at. And so tonight is Family Skate Night at 10404 Franklin Boulevard. It's Family Skate Night. It's free for everyone to go in and have a wonderful time with your community, with your family, and with yourself. So make sure that you let someone know that also in 2251 Florin Road, the Obama Room, that there will be a session going on with the brothers that are pushing for Dr. Flo to run and win the mayor's seat here in Sacramento, California. With that being said, I'll pass the mic.
Okay. So let's look at the timetables for that, because they seem to conflict to some degree. The skating is 7 to 8:30.
So here it is. You're not gonna make both meetings, so you either got to choose between the one or the two. So the skating is for Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. Period.
Right.
And the Obama Room is strictly for Dr. Flo's upliftment through the community and the people in the community to push the narrative of bringing her into the mayor's seat. So
okay.
6:30 to 8:30 is skating. 6 to 8 is the Obama Room. So you may not going to be able to make both of them. Just got to be at one of them. And I think that you and William would be better over at the Obama Room, right? With Brother
right.
Mark. But Brother Mark liked to go to that skate day. Hey, we'd like for, you know, the brothers to decide which one they're gonna go to, because we're just trying to make sure that we give our people what we say we're going to give them, the information, the love, and the opportunity. I said the information, the love, and the opportunity to be community.
That's what it is. Absolutely. I agree. Okay. Well, gosh. Yeah. Well, I'm probably, yeah, I agree. I think I should attend that meeting and take good notes about what's going on there so that we can know how to move forward on that. And I'm going to call around and urge some people to stand in the gap for me. If I can get it, I'm going to try to send somebody as a replacement. And I think if everybody does that, if you're not going to be able to attempt to urge or include someone that you think might enjoy this thing. So maybe we should get on the phone or do a blurb, you know, with all the contacts and just hit everybody up to see if they're willing to participate, because this is a wonderful thing. I don't skate, but I enjoy seeing our people and the mingling of other people. We have Hispanic people come, and, you know, we have white people come, you know, and it's this wonderful community style atmosphere, right, where everybody's recognizing that the one goal is to enjoy the body and the skate if you can, because I don't skate, you know, but it's a good atmosphere for me. And my girl came and she tried to skate last time. She thought she was going to get out there and get to rolling. And then I saw her holding the wall for about an hour, all the way around, just busting, holding the wall, sliding around. So she wasn't as good as she thought she was, but you only get better if you keep practice. So come on out and get started, and then get your practice in. Next thing you know, you'd be spinning around like that boy Darius and his buddy. Them boys would be going around there like a roller derby or something. So come on out.
Also tell a friend about the 2251 Florin Road meeting. That meeting is going to be held at 6 to 8, and it's about bringing the voices. You know, we always say we're not at the table. Well, there's plenty of tables in 2251 Florin Road. Get to the table. Get to the table. You're invited to get to the table because your voice is the people's choice. I said your voice is the people's choice, and they want to hear from you. That's, again, tonight, 6 to 8 o'clock at the Obama Room, where it's going to be some information shared. It's going to be some people that will be in there that want to unite on this front to move not only Dr. Flo to the mayor's seat, because God forbid she don't make it, we still have a coalition. We still have a collaboration. We still have other work that needs to be done. So don't just look at it as a one-way street. There's a couple of ways you can go down this street, and there's a couple of houses you can park at, because it's a lot of information, influential people that will be in this room. Again, I will not be at none of that. I will be at this house. I'm getting better. At least I'm talking better, but I'm still in this old sling. I'm going to the hospital in a minute because my back done went out, and so that I got to go get that checked out. But yeah, man, make sure that you be at one of these two places tonight, man. Show up and show out, because your community really receive the love that all of our brothers bring. And it's not even that your presence is not welcome. It is the most thing that these young folks like to see, brothers and sisters of all ages coming together and joining in a family skate night. Oh, my goodness. And then over at the Obama Room, to see brothers and sisters coming together to make a plan to put not only a lady in office, but to put their agendas out there to let people know where they're at, where they're trying to go, and what help is needed to get there. With that, I'm going to pass the mic, and I'm going to be off the mic. We got 4 minutes. 4 minutes of funk, and I'm funky.
Okay, one more thing. In addition to the Obama Room meeting tonight, what we discussed is the importance of illuminating the African market as a resource, not just for what we do their meeting, but there are a lot of black businesses there. There are a lot of black nonprofit organizations there. There are a lot of professionals there that people might not be aware of. And this will open that up and hopefully make this a hub for the networking to promote the candidacy of Dr. Cofer, will at the same time bring more awareness to the power of the African market. Because if you haven't seen the back wall, or if you haven't seen the Sojourner Truth Museum, you're missing out. I'm just going to keep it like that. I don't care who you are, you're missing out. So here's an opportunity to take advantage of those visuals and those spirituals that exist in that marketplace. So that's one of the other reasons why we're hosting everything in the Obama room in that facility, is to bring more attention to that gem that's found on 2251 Florin Road, the African market.
I see.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
So I just kind of wanted to emphasize one more thing, and that is, you know, we're speaking about the African market. You know, we have to make sure that people know this is, without apology, our new Black Wall Street. We are not playing about the businessmen and women that are working in both the for and nonprofit fields that are coming together, those of us that have no qualms about making sure our community has a strong foundation and building future networks, so that when these future businessmen and women that are created through these networks, we're able to compete in the markets. That means we're able to inspire Black men and women to reinvest their Black dollars back in the Black community. So we want to make sure it's more than just, you know, a place to go and to visit and then leave and never come back to, or to forget about like it's just a tourist site. No, this is a permanent part of our community that we're adding to, so that when people think about the African market or think about Florin Center, they should be thinking this is the place we come to for so many reasons, especially when it comes to supporting our community. Thank you.
Excellent. Well spoken. Well said.
Well, it's that time again, my friend. We will see you tomorrow, same time, same station. We ask that you keep your head up. Also keep it on a swivel. But I would like for you to know that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. We're going to lift him up. We're going to praise him. And we're going to allow him to let his will be done and not our own. We lean to his understanding to complete our mission, our mindset, and our forward motion. I heard somebody said this is 2020 forward. 2020 forward. Let's take this thing forward. Let's be a people of love, and let's share that love. Without further ado, I got to let y'all go. Marvell, I'm going to call you, man. I need a ride, man. I got gas money, man. I got to go to the emergency, man.
All right, don't you ain't got to go new. That's it. You just said it. It's done. Let's get it done.